Wherever you are, Ed Harris, this is for you.
Keep talking. Let her hear your voice.
Okay, Natalie, your depth is 8,000 feet. You're doing fine.
No, Saya. Talk to her.
Natalie, there are some things I need to say. It's hard for me, you know? It's not easy being a cast iron bitch. It takes discipline and years of training. A lot of people don't appreciate that. Jesus! I'm sorry I can't tell you these things to your face. I have to wait till you're all alone in the dark, freezing. There's 10,000 feet of water between us. I'm sorry. I'm rambling.
Coming up on the big 10,000. 12,000 feet. Jesus, I don't believe she's doing this.
Natalie, how you doing?
Signal's fading.
No, Natalie! I'm not going away, I'm right here!
Kill everything we don't need. Knock out those exterior lights. Now, go! Run it through the digital processor. Cook it as much as you can.
I'm right here with you, Natalie! Natalie, this is Saya. Please! I'm right here with you, okay? Try and stay calm. I'm right here, alright, Natalie?
She's losing it. Talk to her. Keep her with us. Coming up on 17,000 feet.
Natalie? It's the pressure, alright? Listen to my voice. You have to try. Concentrate, alright? Just listen to my voice, please.
17,000 feet. Christ almighty, this is insane.
Natalie, I'm not getting anything.
Whoa. Come on. No.
What?
Little geek just folded.
Jesus.
She can still make it.
Natalie, I know how alone you feel. Alone in all that cold blackness. But I'm there with you in the dark. With you. Oh, Natalie, you're not alone. Oh, God. Do you remember that time? You were pretty drunk. You probably don't remember. The power went out in that little apartment we had on Orange Street. We were staring at that one little candle, and I said something really dumb, like, that candle is me. Like every one of us is out there, alone, in the dark, in this life. And you just lit up another candle and put it beside mine. And you said, no, see, that's me. We stared at the two candles, and then, well, if you remember any of this, I'm sure you remember the next part. But there are two candles in the dark. I'm with you. I'll always be with you, Natalie. I promise that. Okay. Well, we're back.
Hey, guys, I'm back from the underwater crevasse.
Natalie went real method this time.
I did. If you haven't guessed it by now, the movie we're going to be talking about today is The Abyss.
The Abyss. Why is there wind blowing through the abyss? It's underwater. The Abyss is a 1989 film.
Oh, wait, no, that's Jurassic Park.
The music for The Abyss is not as catchy.
Is it,
No, it's like...
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a Gregorian kind of...
Yeah, but isn't there like kind of a running...
Anyway.
Okay.
In our effort to bring you always accurate interpretations of the music in the films we decide to review. Anyway, The Abyss is from 1989, directed by James Cameron, and right in his period of real artistic power.
Yeah. I like how it looks like you're holding on to it. Just
Yeah, I kind of had a claw.
Yeah, a claw motion happening. So Saya and I decided to choose this movie because we were at the local Cineplex. People use that word still.
You do.
And we saw a preview for for the movie Battleship, and we were just bowled over by the explosions and just the overall war pornography is what Saya said to me while we were...
Yeah, I turned to Natalie and I said, what is this, war pornography?
And then we were just like, why don't they make, like, just solid movies about the ocean or about just, the government coming in? And then also, they don't make movies like The Abyss anymore.
And then, of course, because we have the same taste, I turned to Natalie and I was like, I love The Abyss.
I love it.
Let's podcast about it. So then it just happens that on Friday,
yeah,
we were walking through the neighborhood.
Yes, that's true. We were walking. That's an accurate statement.
And we came across a sign that said, that was a pretty enticing yard sale sign.
Mm-hmm.
We both looked at it and we're like, we gotta go to that yard sale. And then we turned around and it was right behind us.
That's true. Yeah.
And we walked up to the yard sale and there was a table of DVDs.
Oh, you're really setting the scene here, Saya.
Well, this is a moment of serendipity in an otherwise chaotic universe. And right in the middle of the table, the DVDs shining up at us.
DVDs.
With its cobalt and black cover. Was Jurassic Park. No, The Abyss.
Was The Abyss. Which the cover, I think it's interesting that cover art, it reminds me a lot of The Thing.
Yeah, totally.
And I think there's a...
It's that backlit thing.
That backlit thing, yeah. Right. Where I think The Thing is like coming from the dude, but mm-hmm. he's black. Anyway, that's just always what I think of when I think of The Abyss cover art is yeah. The Thing.
It's effective.
Yeah.
I also bought Natalie a DVD of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
It's true. That movie is 3 hours
long. $1.
3 hours long.
Hey, The Abyss is also 3 hours long if you watch the director's cut.
That's true.
Yeah. It has moments of really intense, scary action.
Yes.
Like, really edge of your seat.
It's incredible action.
Yeah.
It's incredible and it's believable action.
Yeah.
Like,
it's good
acting.
I think
that the special effects in this movie... Where some people might think they're cheesy, but I think they still hold up to this day. Mm-hmm. For sure. With all the CG that's out there, I think that this is still a really effective like a special effects movie.
Well, that's because a lot of the stuff in the movie isn't actually CGI. It's like
right.
props.
Right. And I think even the aliens, spoiler alert, from 1989.
Are they aliens or are they the original inhabitants of this earth? Wait, they're called NTIs. Do you remember what that stands for?
Oh, NTIs is a non-terrestrial
inhabitants. No, I think that's wrong.
No.
Non-terrestrial.
Really? We can't remember what this means?
We don't have any notes, folks. That's not true. I have some notes.
Anyway, outside of the action and the visual effects, I think that this movie does a really great, it paints the story of every character in this, and it's really great, different than what you would see today, because you get really enveloped in these people in the story,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of a same sort of trope of there's a couple in the center of it, and of course, their relationship has a lot of turmoil mm-hmm. and drama, but the acting just takes it above and beyond,
yeah.
and there's a lot of shit that happens to these people.
Yeah, it's like five movies in one.
It is. It's like, they're deep underwater. Number one, deep, deep underwater. Number one.
All
up in that trench. Number two, they're attached to like a battleship or something
a rig.
A rig up on top of the
surface
of the ocean, thank you. That thing is like pummeled by a hurricane, so then they lose all contact with the people topside. Then they're dragged to the edge of a crevasse, also quite frightening. And on top of all this, they have a Tomahawk missile on their rig, brought on there by some Marines that came down.
God, there's just so many
There's a
things.
Submarine rescue mission, quote unquote, but it's really right. just so the Marines can get the Tomahawk mission. And then you have aliens, and then you have two people have near-death experiences.
Drowning. Uh-huh. There's a lot of drowning, which really bothers me, and I can barely watch it.
It's so true. The pinnacle scene of this movie, well, one of them. There are so many, but they're played so well.
Yeah, you're just ready for more.
You're ready for
you're
more.
You're like, I could climax
and you're kind
five
of just
more
like,
times.
Damn, what? What more can these people be put through? But you're never just like, oh, all right, here's another thing that happens.
Right.
It's just so ridiculous. But it seems all very plausible.
I've probably seen this movie, you know, 7 or 8 times, and just watched it again. And this time, I really found that this movie had a strong message of support for traditional marriage. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Because throughout the movie, Ed Harris and Mary Elizabeth
Macaroni.
Macrame. Mary Elizabeth Macrametonio. Is the original pronunciation of her name. Anyway, they're exes, and they're still married, I think.
Yes.
But they're not yet
divorced.
Right.
Right.
Because they're both too busy doing shit underwater to do the divorce proceedings, which they probably have to go to land for.
Yeah. I mean, I would assume so.
Yeah. They're like, we can't go to land.
Can't correspond with the center of the ocean.
We're separated under sea, you know? And so their whole thing is that she apparently is a bitch.
Yeah.
She's referred to as a bitch five or six times.
I think it's like the high queen, world-class bitch of the earth is what someone says when her character first comes onto the scene. And, oh, what a scene that is.
Oh, it's the feet stepping out of the helicopter scene.
The signature James Cameron, he usually shoots people, their feet first, and then pans up, and you see who they are.
So first it's like four military guys getting out of the helicopter.
And then it's like a set of like, ooh, shapely legs. And
ooh,
then
high heels on the why is she wearing
the tarmac,
high heels?
Yeah.
It's the only time she wears heels
the
whole
movie. And then the thing that Say and I both laughed hysterically at is when they pan up to her, oh, she's got this great late 80s.
She looks like Deanna Troi.
From Star Trek. This is massive shoulder pads.
Her hair's in a poof.
It's like a poofy, yeah.
And she's got like a turtleneck
on. It's a high neck because bitches wear high necks and big shoulder pads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She looks like Mildred Pierce in space.
Yeah, and thank God that costume is like ditched immediately. She's out of that, and then she's into like actual work clothes.
And then she wears sweats for the rest of the movie because
she wears jeans and normal things you would wear.
Right. So anyway, she is. Everyone is so mean to her.
She's like bitch.
But from what we can tell, she is nothing but kind, professional, highly intelligent, good at her job.
Yes,
and. It seems like she's a perfectly wonderful person. She never comes on and is like, I hate all you people.
Yeah.
She's just totally nice to everyone and happy to see everybody. But they still refer to her as a bitch throughout the whole movie. Anyway, she does not like to be referred to as Mrs. Brigman. Mrs. Brigman, which is Ed Harris's character's last name. Mm-hmm. And whenever he says Mrs. Brigman, she goes, not for long. And she even says at one point, I didn't like that, even when it meant something.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Stung in the bottom of the ocean.
But by the end of the movie,
yes.
When they've been through 12 hours of breathless hell together.
Both of them have actually died and come back.
Right. She runs up to him and they have a reunion that is very much like, marriage is saved. And then they kiss on the sunlit prow of an alien undersea vessel. But here's the thing. The thing that saves planet Earth.
Yeah, tell me what it is. Tell me what it is. You know what it is.
Wifey.
Yeah.
Wifey, the word.
I don't think it's wifey. I think it's just wife.
Is it just wife?
Yes.
Oh, wifey's a little, like, ghetto.
Yeah. Just a bit. I don't think that they would be like, what's going to really seal this? What's going to make the aliens stop a large tsunami wave from crashing the Earth? The word,
I love you, wifey.
Wifey. Boo. You my girl, boo.
Typing that in. He's got like a
and it's just
an old timey text thing on the arm of
just the letter U.
Yeah. I heart you, boo.
Yeah, I don't think that would stand.
No, but the actually, what I have several favorite parts in this movie. One of them is when Ed Harris gets dragged by the angel-like alien down the wormhole, which is a super trippy part. It's kind of like that part in Willy Wonka where they go down the tunnel.
Oh, that's a scary scene.
But he's like, dying because his oxygenated fluid is running out of oxygen or something. And then they drop him on the floor of this tunnel that's like all like holograms on the walls. and then they part the water wall.
Yeah.
Like Moses.
Mm-hmm.
They part it. And then he's like, what? There's air down here? I'm a mile under the ocean. And then he rips his helmet off. Remember how like dramatic
Slow-mo.
That scene is?
Mm-hmm.
And like he coughs up this pink fluid and it's just a great like the breath that he takes is like just horrific. And then the aliens are floating behind the wall of water and you're like, what the fuck is this movie?
Oh, they look great.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
And then they project images onto the water screen behind him, which I'm sure James Cameron was like, oh yeah, get ready for this, America. You ain't never seen this before.
Rubbing his hands together. This is gonna blow the lid off the whole thing.
You wanna see what $1 million can buy? Oh man. And so anyway, the aliens are like mad at humans or something because
yes, because of wars and nuclear bombs, going off. We're just treating our planet like dog shit.
Yeah.
And I think actually in the theatrical release, they don't have that explanation. I don't even know if they have the tsunami wave at the end.
They just have, because we watched the theatrical version, and which is 2.5 hours.
One. I'm not sure anymore.
We didn't watch the longer one, because I've watched the longer one, and it has that extra footage of these like epic tsunamis about to hit all the major cities and the major coastlines.
Mm-hmm.
And then the aliens are holding the waves like static. And then Ed Harris is like, but what about love?
I don't think he says that.
No, but that's the point.
What about love?
Which, you know, only in an action movie like this can the simple idea of a human emotion convince another
creature
to oh, never mind.
you reconciled with your ex-wife? All right, we'll pull back the waves.
You have love? We have love.
Get right out of town. Is that your boo? This is my boo. Oh, what a coincidence.
So he like points at the little screen and he's like, wife or something. And then they're like, oh, cool. All right. and then the best part, they raise their entire civilization up from the bottom of the sea, effectively outing themselves as existing to save like 6 humans.
That's true. That's right. Because there are, you know, we didn't even talk about the premise of this. It's so difficult. There's so much going on.
You got like 10 variables.
Yes.
And then they all come together. And
when they search the sub looking for survivors.
And this is like in the first 20 minutes
of
the
movie. Oh, yes. And like that scene alone is just very frightening because it's shot so well, so dark. And I think all of the drowned people in that are actual actors.
Yes. And the one, the guy who has the crab crawl out of his mouth.
Yeah.
That's James Cameron's brother.
Are you...
He had to hold his breath and allow a live crab to crawl out of his mouth.
He's like, yeah,
underwater.
Jimmy, I could do that. I got that in luck.
Yeah, I wasn't doing anything today. I can come down to your million-gallon tank.
Amazing.
Just lay around, put my white face paint on.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that Saya found out about this movie is that so much of it is the actual actors underwater doing these things. It's not a lot of CG.
No. No doubles.
No doubles,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, body doubles or anything.
So they're down there, and it's the whole thing of the rescue operation, which, of course, goes awry with the Navy SEAL guys getting the warhead that we then mentioned. And it's actually in that sunken submarine where one of the oil rig crew has a first encounter with the alien.
Right.
And,
I think I was aggressively reading Wikipedia while you were actually watching the movie at that point.
So, this one guy sees us, he freaks out, he tries to escape the submarine, and he messes up his oxygen mixture, and he goes into, like, a coma. So nobody can actually talk to him about it, but as they're down there... they start experiencing more, and like the next person to see the aliens is Lindsay,
which I think is meaningful and also reinforces all of the kind of subconscious gender shit in this movie, because the alien manifests itself to her in this like playful way, like, oh, hey, we know you're curious about what's going on in the ocean.
Eve.
Well, I don't know about Eve.
Little bit. Her reaction to the aliens was not like the first guy in the submarine. His was like, what the fuck is that? I'm out. And he knocked himself into a coma.
I think what it is that the aliens are supposed to have a feminine energy, and that they, because they're so pink.
Which is so apparent right? in their coloring choice of pink and purple.
They're pink and delicate. I think that the alien comes and shows itself to her as this kind of like, we are kindred spirits, you and I. Mm-hmm. You are a benevolent scientist under the water, and we are benevolent creatures of the deep.
We don't think you're a bitch.
Yeah, exactly. We know better.
Yeah, because say and I were watching this, if her character was played by a man, no one would think she was an asshole.
No, because Ed Harris is kind of an asshole through a lot of this movie.
Yes.
And everyone's like, he's cool. He's just this, like, awesome action
hero. He was
hero.
Jilted by her.
Right, right.
But, you know, I actually didn't mind. I think Ed Harris could have played that a lot more to that asshole edge, but I don't think he did.
He's very likable.
He's incredibly likable. And he's
real hot.
He's pretty hot in this movie.
Yeah, he is. He is. First time you see him, he's all greased up.
He's greased up. He's got, the jeans are doing everything right for him. He's got a pair of workman's gloves hanging out the back pocket.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
he's got a shirt that's kind of tight, kind of clinging to him. Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
And
we could go off on a whole Ed Harris is pretty sexy rant.
I don't find him very sexy in a whole lot of movies. He's one of those actors who the skinnier he gets, the less sexy he is for me.
I would say that's most actors.
No, some people can pull off that look, but he's kind of gaunt sometimes.
He
was sexy in Pollock.
He was sexy in Pollock. I mean, that's a very volatile sexual character.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever
splatter
see
that paint? Splatter.
All right.
Wherever you are, Ed Harris, this is for you.
It really puts the, I don't know,
you may be in your 60s now, but.
Yeah, anyway.
Anyway, let's get back to, so I think that, you know, I was thinking about, why do I like The Abyss? Because I don't really like other movies that are about benevolent aliens. Like Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh,
that movie's kind of boring, I have to say.
It's a lot of build-up on that one.
A lot of build-up, suspense,
yes.
And then they're nice at the end. And it's like, oh.
Would you want to come out guns blazing?
Well, it's kind of...
explode in some heads.
Maybe. No, but the reason I like this movie is that it has a really good villain while also having the supernatural element. Or...
Yes.
Yeah, so the villain in this movie... His character's name is Coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, I think, a classic villain name.
Oh, yep.
Coffee. Why? Why is that such a good villain name?
Well, I think that
it's
really...
kind of Southern.
Well, I think it also helps encapsulate that character. When you think of Coffee, you think of something that will make you jittery and kind of unstable.
Right. So Coffee's got the DTs.
He does.
And there's a lot of great scenes of his hand twitching.
Shaking.
And then he makes a fist.
He's like, no, I got this. You're not going to get me.
Yeah. And they've all been, he's like a fucking Navy SEAL.
Navy SEAL.
And yet he's like, I'm not going to tell anyone. You know, and they've all been briefed of like, these are the warning signs, and he has them all.
Yes.
But he's evil, so he's going to go on to implode.
Yeah.
Which is his ultimate death. Spoiler alert.
Unfortunately.
It's a great death scene.
That character is so funny because what happens is in that boat, eventually they lose so much of their heat, their power, because of all the shit that happens to this rig. And meanwhile, Lindsay's just trying to fix it. Like, she's just down in the belly, waist deep in water, messing with electrical plugs.
What a bitch.
Yeah. And then she's like, I'm running out of oxygen, but you know what? You know what? I just remembered there might be some extra tanks outside. I'll go get them. Like, it's just, she's just like, I'm on it. And they're all like, fucking bitch.
The rest of them are playing cards. God, that Lindsay. What a bitch.
Getting us more oxygen.
What's she doing right now? Saving our lives? How dare she?
And that's like one of the scenes that happens between her and Coffee. Like, when Coffee goes completely off the edge And he and the other SEALs that are still on the ship, they get their weapons and they secure all like the oil rig people in one room. And like she's like, look. The alien water creature is not a Russian spy. Just listen to, think about this. That's what she says to the guy. He slams her up against the wall.
And he goes, I've been meaning to do this. I wanted to do this since this morning. Or
the day we met.
Since the day we met. And he takes a piece of duct tape and gently, but firmly, places it over her mouth.
And then, you're just like, fuck you.
And I think he may slip another bitch in there. Just to pound it home, you know? So she's actually gets her mouth taped shut.
Yeah.
As the main female character. It's just so, I don't think that any director would be able to get away with it today.
Oh, it's just nuts. Yeah.
It's amazing how much has changed in that amount of time. In 25 years. Yeah, but coffee, you know, we gotta talk about the scene.
He's all sweaty on, the thing I was trying to say is he's so sweaty on this rig, and it's like, the ocean water is freezing, and it's basically, there's no heaters in here. But he's just walking around in a t-shirt sweating. And right. None of his other dudes are like, hey man, are you cool, or what's going on?
Right, no one.
Look like you're cutting into your arms.
There's a scene where his arm's under the table, and then the camera pans down, and he's got like a Bowie knife, and he's just cutting his arm. And you're just like, no one, that's a lot of blood. No one asked him, hey, did you cut yourself, man? Nope. He's just walking around with a bloody arm.
Looks like those are pretty even cut marks. I don't think there's a cat on this rig. Did you cut yourself, buddy?
And then our favorite scene, which is before the big fight scene that he has with Ed Harris, is when he's in the...
They're taking over the rig.
Yeah.
Because the alien has made contact with Lindsay and Bud and all the others in the form of like this water tentacle. Which friendly water tentacle.
The same effect as in T2.
Yo, that's a big T2.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big...
Chrome.
It's a big 10-4 in the T2. And of course, Coffee, because he's nutso. He thinks it's crazy and it's Russian spies or whatever.
He slams the door on it, right?
Slams the door on it, and that's a cool thing,
that
too.
That is cool.
cool. And he's just like, these people are idiots, blah, 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 blah. We got to take over this. We got to secure this area. So he and his other Navy SEAL friend, like, they get their weapons. And the one scene that Sam...
pretty much lost our shit over.
Coffee's just like, we gotta secure this rig. And the other's going, yeah, man, we're gonna go to phase 3. And then he hands him the other weapon, hands his buddy
the big old phallic gun.
Oh, yeah. And they're like, there's like just a scene. It's like a moment where they're just staring at each other, just tense and sweaty.
And just grasping the barrels of their guns. And then one of them just cocks his gun.
He cocks it. It's like...
And it's just this, like, perfect action movie, masculine, homoerotic
very
moment.
Very homoerotic.
But the other moment I love is when he's in the room. He's, like, looking at the warhead. He's just looking at it like, oh, that thing's cool or something. But he's just going crazy. And there's this, like, chain that's looped around a pipe. And he's just pulling it link by link over the pipe, like...
The chain is an inch away from his face,
and
too.
He's just caressing it.
He's all up in his grill.
It's great. He's a good actor.
Yeah.
You know? Just a lot of sweat.
So we did find out some interesting facts about this movie.
So many.
One of the interesting things that we found out was that the breathing liquid is actually a real thing that exists in the world.
That existed like in the 60s or 70s and wasn't even like a new technology when which is probably why he could use it, because it had been around for a while.
And James Cameron does use it. There is a scene that's cut out in the British release of this movie where when one of the SEALs is talking to another...
Rat man.
Hippie.
Is it Hippie?
That's what he's called. He's called Hippie, and there's this guy Hippie who has a rat. Anyway, there's this guy called Hippie. He's got a rat. It doesn't matter. The point is that you need to know he's got a rat underneath the ocean.
Right.
And the Navy guy's basically telling him about breathing the liquid. They're like, no, that's fucking bullshit. He's like, let me see your rat. So he basically drowns the rat. And it starts breathing the liquid. And the thing about it is that was a real rat.
Yeah.
And people froke out about that.
And you think watching the movie that it would be a very easy special effect mm-hmm. to fake, because you just have to have a little bit of liquid in front of a, like, or, you know, just put the rat in it for a minute or something,
right.
and then, like, loop it or something. But they really put the rat in it,
and
it
survives. And this extended scene of him actually, you see the rat taking it in and breathing it.
Mm-hmm. But you have to drown
yes.
in order to be able to live.
But Ed Harris did not drown.
Ed Harris, you know, I mean, we can say that maybe that's why he lost the Oscar for this movie. But who's to say in hindsight?
Wow. Wow.
Should have drowned, Ed.
You know what?
You should have drowned.
Wasn't it you that told me that at the end of shooting, he just broke down, like, manically
yeah.
crying?
That's another little anecdote from this movie, is that he, like, was driving home one day from the set and had to pull over and sob.
That's a common theme with these actors in this movie.
Yeah. The Abyss, I really like it, and I highly recommend it.
I do, too. You know, just like we said, lots of action, but, you know, I wouldn't just consider it an action movie.
No.
Like, drama, sci-fi.
Absolutely.
I think it's just an all-around great...
It's gritty. And I feel like you see that in Aliens, too, you know, and Alien,
mm-hmm.
and in the Terminator movies, too.
Oh, yeah.
But that's on planet Earth.
Thanks, Sam.
what else do we have to say about the Poseidon Adventure? I mean, the Abyss.
Do we want to talk at all about the drowning scenes or that sort of thing? The drowning scenes you couldn't watch.
Yeah, that was probably kind of surprising for you that I actually...
That was incredibly surprising to me. Folks, we were watching the movie together, and it gets to the pinnacle scene, as I've mentioned before, of when... It's Ed Harris and Macaroni in this tiny little submersible, and they're realizing the thing's taking on water. He's got a diving suit on. She's just got on, like, her little skippy fucking Coast Guard vest and a pair of jeans.
Right.
And it's like, she's like, look, I'm going to have to drown, and you'll have to drag me back to the rig. And the buildup that this was so great, their acting was so legit. Say it's like, I think we're going to have to turn it off. I'm like, what? What? She's like, I can't do this. I'm like, really? Of all the things you've watched in your life, Joe Dorowski, you can't watch this James Cameron drowning scene? And it's not even done, like, gratuitously. It's done, you know, pretty...
It's pretty gentle. I really don't like drowning scenes. And you know, it's just, like, I already know she's gonna get resuscitated,
and that scene is also...
Oh my god!
You think the resuscitation is just
the longest
intense.
Resuscitation ever.
Yes.
And what brings her back? Being slapped in the face.
And be called a bitch. You goddamn bitch!
You never gave up on anything in your life! Now breathe, yeah. bitch!
And she's like, what? Did someone call my name?
So basically it's like, she has a little bit of like a Sleeping Beauty thing where someone has to call her a bitch for her to come back.
And slap her hard across the face and just punch her in the chest.
Yeah, she gets punched in the chest. So just remember, folks, if you're ever trying to bring a woman back from drowning and she's not responding, go ahead and slap her around a little bit.
Yeah, that's a great message.
Especially if you love her.
Oh.
You gonna go see Avatar 2 when it comes out in 2013?
Didn't see Avatar 1.
Wow.
Did not see it. And you know, I'm just like, I feel like I'm alright with that. I watched Fern Gully. I feel like I got it.
Yeah, it's probably a safe bet. You know, he really likes those pink and blues. There's a lot of those through Avatar 2.
Hmm. A lot of that Titanic.
What was that? No idea the word that Natalie just uttered.
For some reason, I said Titanic. In a strange way, Titanic.
Oh, the Titanic. Have you heard about that ship that sank called the Titanic?
I don't know.
You my boo.
Na 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 na.
I love you, boo.
Boom. Doo 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 doo. Wait, no, I still can't get the. I know the.
No, you don't.
It's just.
Nobody knows.
Just know that if you're ever deep in a trench underwater and pink light surrounding you and then some Gregorian chant comes up behind you.
Don't be afraid.
You're going to be cool. Everything's going to be aight.
Yeah, you're going to be saved. Because God lives at the bottom of the ocean. Oh, boy.
Thanks for listening.
Glad to be back. But what about love? I love the abyss. I love it.